He's got an MBA. Besides that, he can help me get everything and take care of everything. He's a teacher. When Pastor Emily graduated from college and they were married 1 month, they started in our church. She worked, her first position in this church was the CFO and ran the finances of this church. She's been a nursery director for our church. She's been a choir member and a choir singer. And now she's a music pastor and a preacher, an associate pastor of this great church. And I'm looking forward to what God has for Pastor Emily. Would you give her a hand right now in Jesus' name?
Have you. Amen. All right. Are we on, Ed? Yes, we are. Okay. Well, I just want to start off. I'm really thankful for the opportunity to get to do this, and much like every position that the Lord has put me in, I'm not qualified. And the amazing thing about that is then he just takes care of the rest. He actually wants the unqualified, to tell you the truth. He wants people that come before him with a humble spirit, that aren't coming out of their own strength, but using his strength and his ability. And so I'm very thankful for this opportunity, and I'm going to tell you why. I think I've got the Pastor Dave anointing of crying. I don't know. I'm telling you. But I know what it comes from. And you just love the Lord so much, don't you? But I'm very thankful for this opportunity. And I just want to start by saying there is a drawing closer to the Lord, a spirit of hunger after the Lord in this church. And there's an honoring that will happen as you are stepping closer to the Lord. He's going to meet you right there. That's what the word says. Draw near to him, and he will draw near to you. And he's going to honor that. He's going to realize and see in your heart and in your purpose in your heart that you are desiring a closer relationship with him. And we'll see that in the life of Daniel tonight, of that when we make that resolve in our life, when we decide to honor him in every aspect of our lives, that he's going to meet us right there, and he has big things in store for us, even greater than our expectations might be. Amen? All right, so the word of God tonight that we're going to be looking through is Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. And what I'm going to do, I'd like to just read this together. We're just going to read this out loud together, so if you have your Bible, I'm going to be in the NASB, Lonnie. So we're going to just dive through this. Stick with me, all right? In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, and I know I'm not going to say these things right, but you love me anyway. So, all right, Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the vessels of the house of God, and he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. Notice that's a lowercase g. I love that. I just love that. Yeah. And he brought the vessels into the treasury of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, the chief of his officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and of the nobles, youths in whom was no defect, who were good-looking, showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge, and who had ability for serving in the king's court. And he ordered him to teach them the literature and the language of the Chaldeans. The king appointed for them a daily ration from which the king's choice food and from the wine which he drank, and appointed that they should be educated 3 years, at the end of which they were to enter the king's personal service. Now among them from the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Then the new commander of the officials assigned new names to them, and to Daniel he assigned the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. We'll finish with this verse. Now God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the commander of the officials. I want to set the stage. And I researched a little bit of the time and the what was going on in this particular time when this all happened. So here you have the king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, comes in, and they besiege Jerusalem. But verse 2, it says, the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. So understand that this was the Lord allowing this to happen, okay? This was the Lord allowing it to happen. It's not to say that the Lord is not a kind and merciful God. In fact, he is definitely that, and this was his mercy extending to them, extending to the Israelites, because yet again, they had fallen into the path of disobedience. And I mean, do you guys understand that the Israelites represent us as the church of God, right? That's who, that's what that is. It's showing us that we are the children of God. And so sometimes we fall into a time of disobedience as a body, as a group. So Israel had fallen into idolatry, and they were not observing the Sabbath. So the Lord's like, all right, I'm going to allow this to happen. And then Nebuchadnezzar brings vessels into his God and so you understand also Nebuchadnezzar, his beliefs were not the same beliefs of the Israelites. They were not of Hebrew culture. They were the Chaldeans, and it was the Babylonian culture. And so their ways were not the ways of the children of God. They were very much different. They definitely served idols. They definitely did things that were against the word and against the way that these children of God and the Hebrew children were raised. And I shouldn't say just children, all of the Hebrew culture, all of Jerusalem. Okay, let's go to verse 3. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, the chief of his officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and of the nobles. Youths in whom was no defect, who were good-looking, showing intelligence. I mean, these were like the cream of the crop. They were the shining stars of the nation of Israel. And here they go. Here's another gut punch to the Israel kingdom and community, that they were taking what their future would be. They were taking the future leaders. They were taking that generation and trying to. Nebuchadnezzar had a plan, and he had a purpose of wiping out the next generation and the next leaders of these children of God. And so don't you know that this was a low time? This was a time of discouragement for God's people. I'm sure that many of them were crying out, but you know what future they felt like they had is now being taken away from them. And so all these men, that's young men, ages 14 to 17 is, I believe, what I studied. And so these leaders, these next future people, this next generation are coming in, and they're going to teach them. They've been ordered to teach them for 3 years. That's at a very impressionable time. I've got a daughter who's 13, Miss Olivia. And she's in a stage right now where there's a lot of, you can turn in a lot of different directions. There's a lot of pulling at you. And so they were at this stage where they were at a stage where they had a mind of their own, but yet they were not fully adult. But they were getting ready to be, and he was going to groom them to be the leaders of the Chaldeans. The king appointed for them a daily ration from the king's choice food and from the wine which he drank, and appointed that they would be educated 3 years, at the end of which they were to enter into the king's personal service. And we know the four of them were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And I'm going to stop there. I want to talk a little bit about the significance of the food. Okay, this was something that just profoundly... I wondered why just the food? Why did he not object to the teaching? Why did he not object to the name change? Why did he choose to not defile himself with the food and the three guys with him? Why was it that? And so I began to study the significance of the food and what it meant. The word defile was used in verse 8. And a synonyms for defile are this, some of them I just grabbed. Pollute, poison, corrupt, taint, tarnish, infect, destroy, and ruin. Sounds like Nebuchadnezzar knew what he was doing. He wanted to poison them. He wanted to corrupt them. He wanted to pollute them. He wanted to infect them with things that were contrary to everything that they had learned. Interestingly enough, an antonym, which is something that means the complete opposite, for defile is purify. So these guys, Daniel and his three friends, they thought, man, what can we do? We cannot allow this poison into our lives. We can't do this. And another reason, just generally because of the culture and the environment in which they were raised, Jewish culture, that food would not have been would not have been kosher at all, okay? So that was a defilement for sure. It wasn't prepared the right way. And it would have been sacrificed to idols. So not good. Not at all good. In the life of a Hebrew child. And here's this, get this one. This is the one that hit me. Third, eating the king's food implied fellowship with their culture. In fact, Baldwin said, by Eastern standards, to share a meal was to commit oneself to friendship, and it was of covenant significance. We must protect our covenant. Pastor preached on that not very long ago. We must protect our covenant with the Lord, and we cannot defile ourselves. We cannot allow the poison into our lives. And if you are a parent, you cannot allow that for your kids either. We've got to guard them and protect them. If you're a grandparent raising your child, guard them and protect them of those things. They are in our custody and in our care. And I got to tell you right now, my kids don't always understand some of the ways in which I guard and protect them. I'm sure they grumble and complain a little bit under their breaths of the things of which I allow and don't allow. But I trust that my Lord is leading me in that. And that's what I tell him. Hey, listen, I believe the Holy Spirit is guiding me in this, so I need you to honor it because I believe that's what he's telling me to do. But in the same way we do that in our lives. I want you to understand just a little bit, though, too, that this food, although it wasn't kosher, although it was not, they were sacrificed to idols, and it was considered of great fellowship and basically of a friendship, of kind of an alliance and a coming together. Although those things are great, there are only four of them that chose not to defile themselves. I don't know how many, actually, of those 14 to 17-year-olds, I don't know how many did choose to poison and to eat the food that the king prepared for them. Nebuchadnezzar, his plan was to soften them up. That's actually, I read that somewhere. His plan was to soften them up. We cannot get complacent in our walk with the Lord, especially right now. We cannot choose a path of easiness, okay? Just because it's simple, we cannot choose that. He was trying to just butter them up, you know? Let's just basically, you know, we'll give them all this teaching and we'll do all this stuff. And you know what? I'm going to give them some really great food because that's going to satisfy their flesh right now. That's going to give them that satisfaction right then. And those are the things that are going to trip us up, are the right then. Those right then decisions. Amen? Understand that sin and pollution, poison, the things you put into your life, that those decisions are made only by you. Nobody else can force you to do that. I'm telling you, no, even if it seems like it seems forced, they cannot force you to do those things. You have a choice, and you're responsible for those choices. Amen? That's not preached very often. That's not very, you know, friendly. It's not very sweet. But we're responsible right now, from here on out, for every decision which we make. Amen? Satan certainly has a plan, just like King Nebuchadnezzar has a plan, to soften us up. He wants to infiltrate in every way that he possibly can. You know, Nebuchadnezzar, he was educating them. Man, I got to tell you, there's a lot of things in the educational world that I don't agree with, and honest to goodness, don't line up with the Word of God. No longer in public education. So he's educating them of the ways of the Chaldeans. He's trying to undo everything that was done in their life before this age of 14, to basically take it all away. He's trying to completely, I mean, butter them up. I'm sure that food was good, you guys, kosher or not. I bet it smelled good. You know, and he was basically saying, listen, look to me. I'm going to provide everything you need. I've got it all. Look at this food, look at this banquet that I can prepare for you. Look how great this is. He made it seem really enticing and really good. So for these four guys to stand up and say, no, we're not going to do it, that was pretty bold and that was pretty courageous. And it could have meant their life. But as a believer, let me go back to this. As a believer, I want you to know, because I think some of us are at a point in a stage where we're just so close. We're just so close to having resolve in our lives to fully commit ourselves to serving Christ. I really do. I just think that there's this stirring that's happening and this drawing closer. And the Lord wants us to 100% step into his path. He wants us to not have one foot forward and one foot back. He wants us to come fully and completely into his path and his plan that he has for us. So if you ever get a nudge, and I've talked to my kids about this too, especially my 13-year-old, I'm telling you, if you get any little hesitation in your spirit or in your mind, wherever you feel it, any hesitation, you are a child of God. That is the Holy Spirit sent from Jesus, or when Jesus left, sent by God. He is telling you, uh-uh, sister, uh-uh, brother. You need to not go down that path. I'm telling you, that is what it is. And it is a split-second decision. Amen? Just go the other way. He's trying to protect you. He's trying to protect you. Or maybe I shouldn't say go the other way. Here's the visual that the Lord gave me. There's a path, this path of holiness that we're on. And all across this path, there are different directions in which we can take. All across. And he's telling you, you stay the course. You stick the course. You stay the path that I've set before you. I'll make your path straight. Amen? All right. Moving on, let's go to verse 8. I'm just telling you, does that sentence not just excite you? But Daniel made up his mind, just right there. But Daniel made up his mind. Another translation is, but Daniel purposed in his heart. Do we understand what that really means? To have resolve in that way. Daniel and these other kids, these 14 to 17-year-old young men that were brought to be in the king's service, they were already raised to know Jesus or to know God. They were already raised to know them. So by our standards, they would have been children of God. Daniel already had a deeply rooted relationship, though, with the Lord before Judah was taken over. Before Nebuchadnezzar ordered them for 3 years of basically took them hostage, first of all. Before he ordered in 3 years of education, before he told them to eat food, before he told them to do any of that stuff or the new name change, Daniel already had a deep-rooted relationship with the Lord. And it's evidenced in his life and the decision in which he made. This sentence the Lord gave me, yet they were committed. These men were committed to obedience to God, even if it did not fulfill their expectations. How many times are we disappointed? We think, boy, did the Lord just not hear me? Or maybe I missed it. That's not the case at all. That's not the case at all if you're walking with the Lord. He has a much better plan. He has a much better path for you to take. It's beyond us, guys. It's beyond us. I want you to notice Daniel's posture. Let's go to verse 8 and 9. I'm going to read those again. But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food. I love that word, choice food. Like, it's just so much better. King's choice food, or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. Notice Daniel's posture. You know, we always talk as a child of God, and this, I'm not saying this is wrong, this is absolutely right, that we must stand. We must stand as children of God, and we can't have a backup or a quit in us. Amen? We got to go forward, and we got to stand in the Lord and stand on his word and stand on his truth. But I want you to notice that when Daniel, in his stance, what is his posture like? Before he even approached the commander, he had made up his mind not to compromise. I think in this time that we live in, guys, we are definitely, most definitely in the last days. I have no doubt. If you're going to call me crazy, I don't care about that. I don't mean that ugly, but what your opinion of me doesn't matter. I believe we are living in the last days, and this is a time for the bride of Christ to better get ready. We need to be pure before the Lord, which is the urgency of this message tonight too. But understand that we got to know how in our stance, it's not just, we don't need to be obnoxious, guys. We don't need to be obnoxious. Your heart, your intention may be right, but what's going to be a better witness for God? What's going to bring him more glory? So notice how Daniel does this. Four things. He'd already made up his mind, okay, of no compromise. He was bold to approach the commander. Boldness. Third, he sought permission. He didn't command, did he? He didn't say, well, I deserve this. This is just an outrage. This is my right. I don't have to eat your food. No. He sought permission. He was courteous and polite. When he sought permission, he didn't command or demand anything. The fourth thing, he was wise and used discretion. So before we get on our little high horse of holiness and the stance in which we need to take, and I'm saying we do have to stand, church. Don't misunderstand me. We do have to stand. But make sure our posture is right and it comes out of a heart of humility. Amen. Verse 9. This is the exciting part. Because the thing is, and I started service with this. When you take that step, that step of courage and going before the Lord and saying, okay, Lord, 100%, I am all in, no turning back, This is the pivotal point in my life, God. Come what may, I am with you. I am in covenant with you. Amen? The Lord doesn't leave you just standing out there alone, though. No. As soon as you say it, he's right there with you, and he's going to go before you. Amen? He's going to go before you. Now, God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the commander of the officials. Amen. Amen. That's what he's going to do. It doesn't even make sense, you guys. Daniel is going against the orders of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar's not a nice guy. I read some of the things in which he did and the tortures that he did to people, and it's bad. He was not a nice guy. And so for this guy, Ashpenaz, the chief of his officials, it was his head too. It was his life too. So it doesn't even make sense that he would be granted favor and be allowed to not eat the food. But things don't make sense. They're not the natural. It's the supernatural of God. He has a better plan and he has a better purpose for our lives. Amen. Thank goodness his ways are not our ways. I'm just saying. Thank goodness. Thank goodness. So when we stand, God does not abandon those who stand for him, those who are faithful to their call on their lives. He's going to go with us. And Daniel's uncompromising stance allowed God to provide favor in their lives. Amen? When you decide the path of holiness and the Lord uses your life to impact those around you for eternal significance. If you continue to read in Daniel, you'll see that Daniel is a witness to Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar eventually does turn his life over to God. He is one for God. And so his life was effective because Nebuchadnezzar could see the fruit of his life. He saw the fruit of faithfulness, and then he also saw, Nebuchadnezzar even realized, wait a second, this isn't right for me to be giving this guy favor. Why, hang on a second, this doesn't even seem right that I'm doing this. So he knew something was different about Daniel and the God in which he served. But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself. Why don't you just insert your name in there? But Emily made up her mind that she would not defile herself. But Olivia made up her mind that she would not defile herself. Tobin, Ella, amen? We need to have that resolve in our lives that we will not defile ourselves. That the life in which we choose to walk in the path of holiness, to not allow corruption to come into our lives, we must be the gatekeeper to our lives. We must do that, church. Resolve. These are some things that the Lord, I didn't look up the word resolve. This is just stuff that the Lord gave me. Resolve, a defining moment. Resolve, a no turning back, pivotal point. Resolve, an uncompromised life for Christ. Resolve, a determination of knowing, come what may, trials, tribulations, whatever may come, even good times. How many of you know and understand that the good times, the easy times in our lives are sometimes the biggest trap that the enemy sets in front of us? We get apathetic, don't we? We get a little lazy in our walk with God because things are going good. Things are going good. I mean, we've got our car paid for, or we just got a new car, or whatever it is. I mean, it's usually things related to money, unfortunately. Let's not fall into that easy pit of apathy. We're beyond that, guys. We're in a more mature relationship with Christ to not fall into a pit of apathy. Amen? A clear alliance with the Lord Almighty. That's resolve. A clear alliance with the Lord Almighty. Resolve, a no backdoor backup plan. You're 100% in. You're 100% in, and the world and the people around you know it. Resolve, where we slough off and discard the patterns we have created, because our choices are our choices. The patterns we created in our lives that to continue to put us back on the wheel of being ineffective. We're going to get rid of those things. He has much better for us. Effectiveness. Effectiveness in the kingdom of God. We've gotten polluted with what that means. Effectiveness in the kingdom of God is not something, hear my heart on this, guys, is not something that brings you glory in any way. But it's everything and anything that brings God Almighty glory. It's not something that brings you glory. I'm telling you, it's the hidden things. In closing, I really do believe this with all my heart, that we all want to have resolve in our lives. I do. We don't want to be ineffective for the kingdom of God. We want to be 100% committed. How many times have you said, even, I'm all in for Christ? I'm doing it. Okay? But then we've still got an exit plan. Just in case it gets a little tough, we're just going to keep our backdoor option. I think one of the biggest things that stops resolve in our life is comparison to others. I mean, if you've ever been on social media, that's the life we want. Look at me, hashtag blessed, I'm telling you. Yeah. Okay. We think the grass is always greener. But the path that you're on is exactly the path the Lord has for you if you have resolve in your life. Let's stop comparing, guys. It is completely, resolve is completely between you and God. It has nothing to do with anyone else. Because listen, they were assigned new names. We didn't talk too much about that. But they were assigned new names. I want you to understand, people may assign you some names. And they aren't probably going to be pretty or nice names. Now, this is kind of almost funny, but when you're younger in school, it's your life right then, and it's a big deal to you at that time. I was called Goody Two Shoes. Don't you even laugh. Come on now. I'm telling you, I was called Goody Two Shoes. And at the time, and like I knew, oh, that's just mean. I've got a good witness for the Lord. Woo! That, praise God, I am doing some good things. I know. I realize that. But it wasn't a nice term. They weren't being sweet to me when they said that. They were jabbing me. They were trying to hurt me, you know, my so-called friends that I had back then. And I love them. I don't hold it against them. It's just, that's just the age and stage you're in. But you're going to be maybe put, assigned some new name. I mean, guys, we really may as a church, as believers. And in fact, we probably are already names. But I just tune that stuff out because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because Daniel understood who and what his identity was in Christ. He never, ever lost sight of that. Slap on a name on me, whatever you want to call me. And names were of great significance back then. They meant a lot. But he's like, it doesn't matter. I know who I am in Christ. And I know whom I serve. Amen? I know that we all want to draw closer to the Lord. And I know that we want that resolve in our lives. And I want you to search your heart and try to understand, what is this that's holding me back? Why do I take a step forward and then a step backwards, or even two steps backwards? Understand, it's definitely, most definitely, the enemy trying to hold you back. But you got to shake that off. You are better than that, because you are a child of the Most High God. You are called to a purpose and a plan that is definitely for now. We are this generation for the now, guys. We are for the now. And we must step up and we must decide today that we will serve our Lord. Let's flip over to Joshua. Joshua 24, 14, I believe. 14 and 15. I love Joshua. It ought to, you know, I mean, that guy, what a leader. Let's read verse 14. So he's talking to the Israelites. He's talking to the children of God, the same way in which I'm talking to you guys. You guys are children of God tonight. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. And do away with the gods which your fathers served beyond Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But Joshua even understood that, and I understand this, that I cannot convince you, I cannot coerce you, I cannot make you resolve to serve the Lord in a stronger way. I can't do that. And Joshua says in verse 15, but if it's disagreeable to you, so he's basically saying, you have a choice. You have a choice, and it's yours to make. Not your mom's, not your husband or your wife's. This isn't a diet plan that, oh, my husband, you know, he just doesn't eat good, and so I just don't eat good either. It has nothing to do with that. This isn't some kind of thing that you can put on blame on anyone else. You are the one responsible for it. But if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today. Choose for yourselves today whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the Euphrates River, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The Lord showed me just some things just this morning as I was going over this. Notice this. Whether the gods which your fathers served, that's in the past, which were beyond the Euphrates River, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living, that's the present. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You get to choose your future. Has nothing to do with the past. It doesn't even have to do with the present. You get to choose your future. You get to choose if you have the clear alliance with the Lord in your life. Let's stand tonight. I think I've got the message across. I hope I have.